Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our guest is Jesse Henley, the solo founder of Bento, and we're going to talk about building all-in-one kind of platforms that Bento is. This episode is brought to you by UserList, a lifecycle messaging tool for SaaS companies. It's perfect for sending smart onboarding campaigns or any other behavior-based communication. We have everything you need to get started quickly and painlessly. Developer-friendly API, campaign templates, and hands-on support from the founders. Try UserList free at userlist.com. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Jane. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks so much for joining us today from the sunny Japan.
Yeah. It's starting to be autumn. So it's getting a little bit chilly, but autumn's kind of like my favorite season because you got, you know, all the beautiful leaves and it's just like a nice mood here at the moment.
Wonderful. So before we dive into the main topic, tell us a little bit about yourself, your background story, and how you started Bento.
Yeah, sure. So the kind of short story is I used to work in e-com in Australia. I used to work for kind of a group of businesses in distribution and online retail. Learned a lot about e-commerce, learned a lot about SEO over that time. Like we ranked number one for keywords like the keyword supplements and a whole bunch of like category stuff, protein powder, yada, yada. Ended up leaving that company and starting a consultancy and started traveling the world. So spent the next 5 years after that just jumping from country to country, would spend 6 months in Asia, then 6 months in Europe. Fast forward a little bit, built an agency. That agency still exists today as a content agency that's based in Macedonia. And in the last year, I basically pulled myself back from the agency just to focus on Bento, which I started 3 years ago, coding myself, some help of some friends like Andrew Culver and currently Khaled. So I've brought consultants along to help build the product and teach me how to code so I could take on more responsibilities over time. So move from little tweaks to actually doing major features myself. So yeah, it's been a super fun, exciting, thrilling, high anxiety journey, but it's been good. It's been rewarding.
Amazing. You've been really, really building away because UserList is somewhat a similar direction of a product and we are really having less features than you do. You have dozens and dozens of various directions and you have chat. I don't know. Give us an overview of what Bento can do, like sort of a elevator pitch and a feature recap, I guess.
Sure. To give like some more background about the product, I started building it as a way to kind of work with my clients at the time. So what I was doing with clients was I was working with Drip. I was working with just like a lot of different tools and stitching them together to just pull off things with clients. And so the first version of Bento was a personalization platform. So, you know, we would capture event data, track custom fields and tags, and then kind of like change how the website looked and felt based on those profiles. And so there was a lot of like analytics that we built for that, a lot of tracking, a lot of ad tracking. Then over time, like my clients, they were like, well, it'd be cool if I could like trigger an email. And so then we started building email features, so broadcasting sequences, and then people wanted automation. So we built like a whole automation suite. Yeah. And then people were like, I need to respond to the emails that I'm sending. And so then we built a chat platform. And so basically we cover sending emails, sending SMS, you know, on any platform, responding to those messages that you send out, and then just tracking the full stack. And so for, you know, any online business, mostly e-com and kind of like high transaction SaaS, so people that are doing a lot of orders, not necessarily like your traditional SaaS, but yeah, people are doing a lot of orders, insurance brokers and booking companies, stuff like that. Yeah, we kind of fit a really interesting niche. And because of all the tracking that we built in the early days for the personalization, we're able to report very uniquely compared to like other platforms. And so yeah, Bento does a lot. It's like a bit of a choose your own adventure because we've got some people that literally they just send a newsletter every week. And then we have other people that are using everything. So yeah, it's an interesting product. Does a lot.
There is a lot of advice online for entrepreneurs. And some of that says like, be focused. Focus on a single industry. Focus on a set of features. Don't build more features. You're going to die in technical debt. And you sound so fearless in pursuing like such a wonderful assortment of features in your tool. Have you ever been scared to build new features or like anything along those lines?
I mean, did you say fearless?
fearless.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe delusional is probably like a better description for it. It's So I built for myself a lot of the time, and I built stuff that has excited me. And I think you're right, that does go against the grain. But in saying that though, like it has been a process of like building features for customers, clients, or myself, and then kind of massaging it into the overall theme of the product. And so sometimes I've launched features that have felt very out of place, but then when I've kind of tied them into everything else, it feels really good. So like as an example, in the marketing automation suite, you can send SMS messages. And so as an example, let's say you're checking out on a Shopify store and you abandon cart, we can send an SMS. But how this links into the rest of the product is when a user replies to that SMS, it goes into the chat inbox, the conversations inbox. And so now you can have a two-way conversation. So you could say, hey, I noticed that you abandoned the cart. Would you like me to organize a discount? They say, hey, that's amazing. Thank you. And then you text them back the discount and then you close the sale. Stuff like that, none of our competitors can compete with. And when you're initially building a chat platform, it's like, I know the direction I'm going and I know like how I want things to feel and operate. It just takes a really long time to get there. And so I think to the outside, people have been like, oh, wow, like that seems really chaotic. Why are you going down this direction? And then stuff fits together and it feels really good. And what I've noticed is like when I've looked at a lot of the larger competitors, a lot of them they've bitten a lot off. So like I've got companies that I'm up against like Klaviyo, Dynamic Yield, and they've got a large engineering team and they just kind of like keep taking on more features and more market share. And I like enjoy, I'll be honest, I enjoy competing with that stuff as like a solo guy working with consultants. It's just like, it's super fun. And it's nice when I take business from large companies. It's fun when I take business from Intercom. It's fun when I take business from Klaviyo. It's like, yeah, it's awesome. It's a good feeling. But yeah, it has felt chaotic at times, but it's kind of up to me to make it work and pull a cohesive story, because that has actually been a challenge. It's been a challenge where people like the messaging isn't clear. I'm not sure how this fits in. But if I'm able to like handhold them, get everything set up for them, then they're like really blown away. And so my challenge is really like, how do I get someone from A to B and get them completely set up, completely integrated and humming along. It's a challenge. It's hard.
I first heard an interview with one of the Basecamp founders like 5 years ago, I think. And I was a consultant and I was always trying to convince my clients to, you know, stay focused. And Basecamp was one of the first companies that says, yes, we're going to take everything under one roof. Google Docs, like the chat, the whatever, project management, everything, so that people just need one tool. And then it was kind of a revelation that such kind of platform can exist. And then Intercom emerged and everything else. How do you feel? Are there any other tools out there that inspire you in terms of like the variety of aspects they offer?
Yeah, I got a few comments on this. Like on the Intercom one, just touching that, like they're now going pretty aggressively into marketing automation, but they've priced out the e-commerce market because they're mainly targeting SaaS and B2B. And so you are seeing companies that were very focused, like Intercom, continue to expand because like they've got the budget. And I think like entering SaaS markets now, it's really hard. Like if you want to build up an email platform or an onboarding tool like you guys are doing, I do think you actually have to compete a little bit. And now on the Basecamp point, I use Basecamp for the agency. We have like, I don't know, 30 employees or so that are using it full time. A lot of clients, a lot of people in there, and it runs my entire business. And we submit docs in there, we do our to-dos in there, we do our weekly update. Like the whole business runs there, and that's always felt really good for me. And to the same extent, Bento is like that for myself. Like when I need to support my customers with tickets, I go into Bento. I reply to them. If I have a feature announcement, I go to broadcast, I send one off. If I just want to have a look at like what my users are doing in my product, I go to the people tab, click on their profiles, and then browse. And it's nice not having to like alt tab into three different tools to get that done. And then additionally, because everything is in one place, I'm able to do things other tools can't. And so from a sales perspective, I'm able to sell that pretty aggressively. One example is all of our tracking's in one place. So email tracking, ad tracking, just everything is in Bento. And so answering hard questions like who came from this top of funnel ad and clicked on this email, you know, like complicated stuff like that, Bento can uniquely answer. Drip can never do that. Klaviyo tries to do that, but they don't do that. There's just like a lot of things in Bento that we do really well. One other point is we also track anonymous visitors, not just subscribers. And so you have that rich history throughout when they're anonymous and they're browsing the website and they've come from an ad and all that. And then when you identify them, then you know who they are. And because we have all that detailed tracking that none of our other providers do, because I don't really know why, I guess they all started from like a subscriber first mentality, but because we came from the personalization side, we needed to track everyone anonymously to pull that off. And so we just kind of like kept running with that. And it's meant that our tracking's been like pretty badass. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that answered the question, but I think with an all-in-one, you can just pull off really unique things. And if you can kind of pull things together properly, yeah, I think you can kind of compete much better than sticky taping two tools together or three tools.
Have you ever been, you know, torn apart about what feature to work on, what to build next, where to improve? Because if you have a simple product, you still have like dozens of items on the to-do list. If you have, you know, 20 directions in your product, I can't even imagine how you sleep at night.
Yeah. So it depends who's yelling the loudest, to be honest. So okay. So the people that are yelling the loudest are people that are onboarding. So we're getting more users pretty regularly. And the features that need the most work on is just the stuff that gets people up to speed. So people want segments built, like pre-built for them. They want workflows pre-built for them. They want all their subscribers in. So that means they've got to work on the importing feature and the broadcast. But to be honest, I've got a lot of time. And so and because I'm the one doing the coding and the product dev, yeah, I don't know. It's just fun. You know, someone tells me something, they need something, I can spin up my console, try and build it myself, and then ship it out the same day. And I think because so much of the foundations of the product are solid, thanks to people like Andrew and Khaled, the product's been very easy to extend and build out. And so in that regard, yeah, I just kind of like wait for things to bubble up. And then when things bubble up to a point where they're pretty loud, I then work on it. And then sometimes like, I don't know, someone makes like a little squeak and I'm like, oh, I want to work on that all day. And I do. So a lot of the decisions are totally by feel, which is probably wrong. And I should probably have more focus, but it's felt really good. And I really like waking up and going, all right, what do I want to work on today? And working on those things. But definitely like at the moment, the biggest things to work on is like, the things that make the most money is anytime I work on email broadcasting, importing subscribers, and working on automations to an extent, they're the things that do win deals and that move the needle forward. But I mean, yeah, working on broadcast can be boring and stuff. So, you know, I really like working on the personalization stuff and ad tracking and chat and all that. But yeah, does that make sense? Did I kind of word that all right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sure. You also offer mobile apps and have these been added lately? Can you yet estimate how much of a technical burden that is to your business?
Not that bad. Thanks to like React Native. With React Native, it's one code base. The scope of it is actually pretty simple. So you can just respond to chats. And so, yeah, I've actually got it open now on my phone. Yeah, the scope is really small. It's like a chat comes in, you reply to it. Because what was happening was so chats would come in for customers and then they would want to reply. And so the first thing that we did was we built a Slack integration so that when a chat would come in from Twitter, their live chat, or Facebook or whatever, it would ping Slack and people could respond in a thread. And so I was like, oh, cool, that solves, I don't need to build a mobile app because like people can just reply to Slack threads and they've got Slack on their phone. For a subset of customers, that was great. For new leads, for whatever reason, the minute I was like, yeah, we don't have an iOS or an Android app, they were like, oh, okay. And then they would like cold shoulder me. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, really? Like, it's a deal breaker because of that? And apparently, like, it was. Like, people wanted dedicated notifications to, you know, their chat product that they have installed. And after having that, I now realize that, yeah, they were actually right, because I've won deals because of it. And for us, it was a really intense two-week sprint, among other things that we were doing in those 2 weeks. But yeah, well worth it. Yeah, well worth it. I think I'm pretty sure I'll recoup the costs that I paid to build all that out relatively soon. So yeah, it's been worth it.
Do you struggle with marketing because of many things that you do? I guess keywords, I don't know, for us at Userless at least, it's hard to find a good keyword for what we do because it's kind of a mix of different things. And I wonder if you, what's your choice there? Do you hammer a specific direction or a specific feature in your marketing, or do you hammer the one size fits all angle?
Yeah, I don't know yet, honestly. So it's from like the organic. So I've got a sales background as well because of working in supplements and distribution. And so for me, like what's moved the needle for this business has been like a lot of B2B sales. So closing deals the old school way on sales calls. And because they're large accounts, they're able to fund the product. In terms of like the more anyone signing up and getting going, obviously like people can do that and they stumble across us. I run paid ads and that's been pretty effective. But with something like marketing automation, email broadcasting, you're entering someone's headspace in like a category. So people like come into the market ready to buy marketing automation software, or ready to buy a personalization tool, or ready to, you know, ready to install a chat platform, right, to talk to their users. And Bento needs to just appear there as a circle in the comparison, right? And when they feel comfortable, like then when they actually go to their research, they'll open Bento in a window, they'll open Klaviyo in a window, they'll open whatever tools they're comparing us against, and they'll make a decision at that point. It's really hard to get someone to impulsively install our software. And so, yeah, that's been tricky. On the search side, like I've got a search background and I've been horrific at doing it myself, just because like I have so much fun on the sales side and the coding side. So I really like talking to users and building product. And I have left marketing. I pushed marketing away for a really long time, mainly because I think I was a little bit, maybe because I was scared of, yeah, if I'm going to be true, I think I was scared of the position, like where I wanted to put Bento. But over the last like 3 to 4 months, I'm pretty comfortable with saying that like we're like a combined marketing automation and team inbox platform. And if I can tell the story of why that's kind of cool, I think they've now put us in two categories. And then if they're deciding either one of those, they'll check us out and maybe install us over other people. But yeah, there's a lot of like default safety with going with, you know, like there's that saying with like, it's safe to pick IBM. There's a lot of that. It's safe to pick MailChimp. It's safe to pick Drip. It's safe to pick those guys. And again, to win deals, I've had to like assert myself as like helping, which has been fun. I love it to bits. It's like, it's brings me a lot of joy each day. But yeah, on the cold traffic side, yeah, there's a lot of bizarre, non-tangible branding things that take a lot of work and a lot of chipping away at to really get working, I think.
Do you ever struggle explaining the value of a product when you do like your sales conversations and talking to prospects? Do they always grasp what you do well, or are there any problems in that direction?
Not in a call. No, not in a call. In a call, I think because I am able to pull out problems, like I'm able to get an understanding of their business, see where they're struggling. So like as an example of like a recent one, I was talking to a software business. They're bringing on a content marketer who has no experience kind of setting up automations and all that kind of stuff. And I actually think for a beginner, Bento is pretty good on the automation side and sending broadcasts. It's pretty good at hand-holding you through those processes. And so that's one part. Like I knew they needed something like simple enough for that person, but they also needed something powerful enough that their dev team could like pump events in and do a lot of these like complicated automation stuff. And so I knew that kind of like only Bento uniquely could resolve like these two things. And so talking to that person and then like pitching the value of like, all right, like the content marketer will be really comfortable in the platform, plus your dev team will feel like super empowered. And if you use something like MailChimp, you're going to struggle, which they were considering. Or if you're going to use like XYZ, you're going to struggle. And if you need any help, just send me a DM on Slack. And that kind of like wins a deal. Yeah. So on a call, I can pull out problems and I can pitch how I would use Bento myself to resolve those problems. And yeah, I can win deals, but that's so hard on the marketing side because I don't really know where someone's at and what their problems are. And so we have a really simple pitch. Like the homepage is a really simple landing page. And the headline is actually a testimonial from Peter, who runs marketing at a zoo, which is like one of our customers. And his pitch is, having one place to go to send emails, talk to customers, and track users has been game changing for us. And I think that positions us as like, there's three things that you can obviously do in Bento. And then people can kind of like explore and dive deeper into any of those different, you know, areas of the product. But you'll notice on the website, there's a lot of like call to actions, to like schedule demos and stuff, because yeah, if I can get them on a call, I can close a deal. But I'm still learning how to pitch it on the website. It's been a bit of a journey.
Are there any particular challenges that come with being such a rich tool, or is it just like all rainbows and unicorns and you are never wishing you would have less on your plate?
I'm kind of curious, like, where do you think it gets overwhelming?
I'm just looking at your feature list and it already is overwhelming. And just to think about supporting all these things, basically, I guess, just supporting this wide range of features.
But so customer support?
That, and also technical support, troubleshooting, things like that.
Yeah, you got to kind of break it down, right? Because like, yeah, customer support's an interesting one because a lot of the time, like with code, you can actually solve customer tickets. So when it's like, oh, something's not obvious, like make a button green, make it highlight, you know, make it stand out. A lot of the time, like features are already in the product. They just need to be highlighted. I'm noticing there's a lot of that in Bento. If it's a conceptual thing, so for example, our workflow automation platform, it's event-driven. So an event needs to trigger a workflow to happen. People get a little bit confused of that. They're like, what's an event? Like they've installed the script and they're like, how do I send a welcome email? Like, and so there's a little bit of training there, but that support ticket's easily countered with like a Loom video or me asking permission to actually like, can I access your account and I'll build it for you? But like, they don't, like customer support tickets aren't overwhelming. Then on the dev side, yeah, the dev side's a tricky one. The product's much more stable than it's ever been, thanks to using certain tools like Elasticsearch for scaling, like being able to do really fast search queries with a lot of event data. Stuff like that's been really great. Yeah, there's a lot less bugs and stuff. I use Honeybadger for error reporting, so I can go in and fix stuff. Sometimes really weird bugs happen, but I can like patch them up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really, it's fun. Like the chaos is fun. So I don't really like find it overwhelming. And again, a lot of that is like kudos to like hiring great talent in the start. Like without Andrew Culver building like good foundational architecture for event processing and tracking, yeah, Bento would be bizarre, like maybe even non-functional now. Like so much relies on that fundamental backbone that he built. So yeah, I don't know. You stand on the shoulders of giants, right?
Absolutely. Is there any advice you could give specifically to some of our listeners who on their product journey want to follow your tracks in terms of, you know, the scale and also build their own like all-in-one kind of platforms?
So a couple of things. I remember, I think you may have to correct me because you're in Tiny Seed and you know Rob. I'm pretty sure on a podcast he did mention that when he was building Drip, which is a competitor to us, he would get kind of pushback on price. And instead of being like, all right, we need to decrease prices, it was more like, how do I increase the value so I can raise my prices or at least match what I want to charge? And that's kind of been my attitude a lot of the time. It's been like, all right, like, you know, there's competitors that not many people know about and they're like multi-million dollar businesses. Braze.com is one. Shouldn't shout them out, but like, these are massive CRM, ESPs, personalization engines. Dynamic Yield, I think, got bought by McDonald's for however many millions of dollars, right? No one knows about them. And like, you know, when I think about our marketplace, there's great companies like Right Message with Brendan Dunn. That's like a direct competitor to Dynamic Yield, right? But Dynamic Yield is this like huge business that McDonald's has bought. And I think for them, they've gone that kind of B2B hardcore sales approach versus more, you know, consumers coming on or small businesses or intermediate businesses signing on, whereas something like that's maybe more like a Right Message. So for me, I'm like, if you want to do an all-in-one, charge appropriately for it. And yeah, work out what those like really big sales deals want and just go for it. Like have fun with it. But also like understand that if you're going to do an all-in-one, it needs to fit together. You mentioned Basecamp before. With Basecamp, like my team feels very much at home in Basecamp. They can write a message and reference a to-do. They can upload a doc and then post that under a to-do or a task. And because of that, it does feel like a really nice place to be, like a nice home with different rooms. And for an all-in-one, that's how you want it to feel. You want, if you're going to have lots of different tools, they need to be like comfy rooms in your house or with a purpose. You know, like you don't, in a house, you don't just want one room. Like you need a bathroom, you need a kitchen, you need a living room. For us, we checked out a place yesterday, has two tatami rooms and like, you know, so when you go for a house, there are things you look for, and an all-in-one tool should kind of be like that. And each room should have its own quirks, its own uniqueness, and should feel comfortable, and you should feel at home with it. But if it kind of feels like you have six different houses next to each other and people are like leaving the house, getting cold, going to the next one, that, yeah, you don't want to build that.
That's wonderful advice. Thanks so much. As we are wrapping up today's episode, where can people find you and your product online?
Yeah, cool. So you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow Bento. It's us at B-E-N-T-O. So we got that handle, which is cool. And then you can follow my personal one if you want, or you can like send me a DM or chat if you're curious about anything. And that's Jesse T. Hanley. So J-E-S-S-E-T-H-A-N-L-E-Y. And yeah, I'm like available on emails, available on DMs. Just reach out if you have any questions. Happy to help anyone.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jesse, for sharing your wisdom today. And I wish you good luck in building even more features and expanding your amazing marketing footprint.
Cool. Thanks so much, Jane. This was an amazing chat. Cheers.
Thank you, Jesse.